was withdrawn. It was postponed. John the Baptist offered it. How'd they take it? By force. They cut his head off. And then the Lord offered it. And the Lord gave it to his apostles to offer it. When you see the book of Acts, you see a transition going on. The gospel's being preached and the church is being built. At the same time, God's dealing with Israel and reoffering their kingdom through the apostles to them. So if they would accept the Lord, the whole Jewish nation, if they would have accepted the Lord would have come back down and reigned from Jerusalem over an earthly kingdom, a geopolitical kingdom. You know, that's when the kingdom of God will come to earth. Thy will be done on earth as it is, thy kingdom come. That's the kingdom of heaven, the mediatorial kingdom. It's coming. Now the violent are taking it by force. Right now, what's going on? Violent people are taking by force America captive. And they are doing terrible things. And you need to understand that this isn't preaching politics. This is preaching Satan and God and the warfare. Revelation 12. You got to recognize that. And that's not, we're not advocating force, although under the American Constitution, the people for the nation have a right to bear arms. Not talking about the church, but the people of the nation as a whole. And there is a place for that. When tyranny comes in, it's in our Constitution. It's the highest law of our land. Right to bear arms, Second Amendment. But we're not advocating that to spread the kingdom. But they're taking it by force, and Satan wants to now set his man in the Holy of Holies because he knows the temple is coming, and he wants his man sitting in the temple in Jerusalem. And so we've been studying in Revelation 12, this war between God and Satan, and now in chapter 13, we've been studying when Satan is actually successful, and he has his man there. And I'm trying to figure out where did my beast empires go. I had a whole thing on the beast empires. I don't know where it disappeared to. Diane, can you check with Alicia, see if she has it? Maybe you could find out. I'm trying to find that. I can hold it up for you. But remember I said, and we discussed this last week, that Satan, to take the kingdom of heaven away, and he doesn't want it to come back to earth. Adam lost it. But there is a man that's going to bring it back to earth. And who is that man? Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah, Jesus. He's called the last Adam, 1 Corinthians 15. Jesus came once to die for our sins, but he's coming again to bring back the kingdom. She's bringing it. Okay. He's coming again to bring back the kingdom. Jesus is. Satan wants to fight that by what? Force. How is he going to try to stop Jesus from coming back and setting up his kingdom over the earth? Does anybody know how he's going to do it by force? Well, ultimately, it's at the Battle of Armageddon. Thank you. Thank you. When the Lord comes back in the air, they're going to train the weapons of the United Nations, all the armies of the world, against the Lord, the highest technological weapons. And the Bible says in Psalm 2 how the Lord's going to respond to them when they're putting the highest technological weapons against him. How does he respond in Psalm 2? He's going to laugh. The Lord's going to laugh. It's like a laughter. And, you know, that is the violent trying to take it by force. When you're fighting God, that's pretty stupid. And throughout history, these mighty kingdoms, Gentile kingdoms, have sought to destroy Israel. Now, why have they wanted to destroy Israel? And it ties in with what we've been just saying. Joe?
The land of Israel is rich with for planting and for...
All right, let me stop you right there. You're on the way, but... Why specifically the nation of Israel? Because even when they're not in their land, Satan's trying to stop them. Yeah. They're trying to stop Jesus from coming back and setting up his kingdom. The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. They're trying to stop him from coming back and setting up his kingdom. Well, how do they do that by getting rid of Israel? Well, God chose Israel, established Israel in the book of Genesis, chapter 12 through chapter 50. We see that. And his whole thing in the first book of the Bible is to establish the nation of Israel, called the woman in Genesis chapter 3. The woman will give birth to the Messiah that will defeat the devil. The devil heard that. He doesn't like it. And so there's been this violent thing there, and he has had 12 beast empires. And we won't go through them all. Egypt is one. Assyria is the next. Babylon was the next. Medo-Persia, the next. Greece, the next. Rome, the next. And then not until AD 96 was this revealed. There was coming a seventh empire that was going to appear a little time, just before Israel was born as a nation in 1948, May 14. And this was Nazi Germany and Adolf Hitler. Satan has tried to raise up these Gentile beast empires to get rid of Israel. And Hitler tried it. He killed 6 million of them. He was trying to kill every Jew on earth. Even as he was trying to conquer the world, his great desire was to conquer the world to kill Jews. What was doing that? Satan. And the Bible says that one of these seven beast empires, the leader is coming back from hell and from the dead to rule over the eighth beast empire, which will be a worldwide United Nations empire under 10 heads or 10 unions of countries. And the whole world will be divided up into 10, and it'll be under this. And we believe it's going to be Adolf Hitler coming back, perhaps cloned. I know that sounds crazy to some, but the more I live, the more I see things are getting ready for a warfare between God and Satan. And so that is what we've been studying. And we study the first beast in Revelation 13, verse 1 and following. And the first beast is the beast, I think it's 1 through 10. And the first beast is the beast out of the Sea of Nations. It says a beast will come out of the sea, and that's speaking of the Sea of Nations around the Mediterranean Sea, which is the old Roman Empire. And the beast is going to come out of the people of the old Roman Empire. Well, that means Europe. And Europe goes into the Middle East, and he's going to come out of that. And Hitler came out of the Germanic people, which were part of the people of the old Roman Empire. And so he qualifies, and he is, we believe, coming back again. Did anybody see that movie, Boys from Brazil? All right, Sarge saw it, I saw it. It's a cloning by Joseph Mengele, which he went to South America, and he didn't really do this, Mengele. But the movie's about this, that Mengele, played by Gregory Peck, and Mengele did die in South America, but he died swimming of a stroke, and they tried to chase him down and arrest him. And he was a Nazi, you know, and they tried to get him. But he died in about 1979, just before 1980. Mengele lived a long time. He was a terrible man. But anyway, he's played by Peck, and he clones Hitler. But he clones 94, 96 Hitlers. And they're all over the world. And the movie's about all that, you know. But actually, there's going to be one cloned, I believe. And then his soul and spirit will be able to come out of hell. His dead spirit and his soul come out of hell with the help of Satan. And he may already be alive now, just like that movie showed in way back in the 1980s with Gregory Peck. He may be, this Hitler person might be alive now. And he's going to be disguised. People won't know it's him until right in the middle of the 7 years when the kingdom of Satan comes to this earth, when the devil is thrown out of heaven, as we studied in Daniel 12, Revelation 12, and that's when all this satanic activity is going to come to real fruition, and all these things are going to happen. And so the thing is heating up, and more God and Satan are coming right out in the open. And this violence is something that we see. And so that kind of gives you some background for where we're going today, Revelation 13, and we're going to look at the second beast. We've looked at Hitler. Now we're going to look at the second beast of the Revelation. By the way, just by way of a quick review question, when we say the Revelation, it means the uncovering. It means the unveiling of something that's covered up. And what is being uncovered in the Revelation? The what?
The life of Jesus Christ.
Well, not just the life of Jesus Christ, the second coming of Jesus Christ. Because his first coming has already been revealed. So this is revealing him in his second coming. And this is a glorious appearing. Remember, his glory was veiled. And when he comes back, his glory is going to shine from the darkened sky all over the world. And everyone will see it. There is not a secret rapture. It will be public. And the word coming is many different Greek words. Erchomai is one word for coming. Apocalypsis, the one I just mentioned, is another word for coming. Epiphania, which means appearing, is another word for coming. Erchomai, which simply means to come, is another word for coming. But the word that's a key word that a lot of people don't understand about the second coming is the word, give me the word, parousia. Parousia. And it means to come and do a number of things over a period of time. In his first coming, Jesus came and he did things in his first coming over how many years? Yep.
33 and a half.
Yeah, that's right. 33 and a half years. His second coming will be less than 3.5 years, but it will last around from 2.5 to 3 years. It will be an accomplishment of a number of things, and it starts with the rapture of the bride of Christ out of this world. So if you're saved, you'll be out of this world before the judgments of Revelation 8 through chapter 19, which is the wrath of God, called the day of the Lord. We're cruising for the day of the Lord. This world is getting ready for God to hit this world, and he's going to hit it hard during the day of the Lord. And God is going to punch back. Now, when we say the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence and the violent take it by force, that doesn't mean God wants us to be violent as a church. But the Lord Jesus will be violent at his second coming. And he's not going to come with his bride to fight. He's going to come with his holy saints or angels. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. And it will be violent. He is going to eject physically Satan from the earth. Did you hear me? Physically. So Joshua, he's the heavenly Joshua, and Joshua, heads rolled when Joshua went into the promised land. Heads are going to roll. Did you hear me? Literally, when he comes back in the promised land.
Based on I also have seen the coming of the glory of the Lord.
Yeah.
Is that based on that kind of scripture?
It may very well be. It certainly describes it, doesn't it? It's a perfect description. And the Jewish Antichrist, we're going to study him today, is look like a long-haired hippie, and he is going to come looking like that, and he's going to come, and the Lord is going to give him a wound. So we'll look at that today. The Jewish Antichrist, that's the one we're going to study. Now, most people, they call Hitler the Antichrist, or the head, the Gentile. But a Christ figure is not a Gentile. A Christ figure is a Jew. You have to understand that Christ came as a Jew. Satan, when he brings in Antichrist, he's going to bring a Jew. Does anybody know how many times the word Antichrist is used in the New Testament? Patty? One. Antichrist for the Antichrist. It's used generally more, but just describing the one man that's coming, because there are many Antichrists in the world. But only one time is the Antichrist, the man, used by that term. You see, people misuse the word Antichrist. Antichrist is the Jewish second beast, the false prophet, the miracle worker, the religious leader who is also a king over the Eastern Roman Empire of the first beast. He's Hitler's right-hand man, and he's a Jew. Wow.
Everybody believes that viewpoint, right?
No. No, they don't. Many theologians do not. In fact, probably most do not, but I never go by that. You know, I go by what I believe the Bible teaches, and so we'll go into that a little bit today. And I'll tell you this, and I'll say it right up front, that we need to know the Old Testament to study the New Testament. I have preached verse by verse through Daniel. We have it on our archives. And Daniel, you have to understand Daniel to understand Revelation. And you have to understand Daniel to understand the Jewish Antichrist. So a lot of these people, they study New Testament, and they don't have they don't think Jewish. You got to think Jewish and Old Testament. So we'll try to look at some of that today as we look at this second beast. But go to Revelation chapter 13 and verse 11, and it says, "And I beheld another beast coming out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon." Now, we know the lamb is who? The real Christ. He is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. He's the lamb that was pure and innocent, and he came to save us in his first coming by having his blood shed for our sins, and thank God he did that. And this Antichrist will come as a lamb. Now, the word Antichrist, the word anti, when you think of anti, what do you think of the word anti as what? Yep.
Against.
The word Antichrist means he's against the true Christ. But there is also another meaning of Antichrist. So what is that, Sarge?
In place of
the true Christ. So he comes to replace the true Christ. The Bible says all about the true Christ. He came according to Bible prophecy, and he fulfilled. Jesus of Nazareth fulfilled all the Bible prophecies about the true Christ. But when the Antichrist comes, he is not going to fulfill the Bible prophecies about the true Christ, but he'll claim to be the true Christ. And so he comes like a lamb in the place of Christ to replace Jesus Christ. And so that's the thing. And something that he's going to do that is going to be like the true Christ. Remember, you got to think Jewish. So what does the Jew require according to 1 Corinthians 1 for a prophet and for the Messiah, Sarge?
A sign.
They require a sign. So he's going to have to come with signs and wonders. And the Bible says here in Revelation 13, one of the things he's going to do in the presence of the first beast, the Gentile beast, he's going to call fire down from heaven. And people will see that. And they'll have these signs. And he'll do wonders. What are wonders? They're miracles. Miracles are when you suspend the natural laws of cause and effect that God put since the creation into being. And they naturally are what occur. That's what science is. Cause and effect in a closed system, they say. But it's not a closed, it's an open system. God can intervene. Well, so can Satan with God's permission. And God's going to give him permission. Why? To see if you believe God or Satan. And so the prophets of Baal couldn't even do this. They couldn't call fire from heaven. They couldn't. But this man will. Yep.
Do you think it's supernatural power, or are they going to deceive with holograms?
Supernatural power. Magic. Real magic. You know, false magic is just conjuring and deception. Real magic is satanic occult powers. Yeah. Satan has that power. He just has to get permission to use it. And he will be given permission because this is the ultimate test time for the world. God versus Satan. And so, and this is the time when Revelation 12, the great tribulation we're talking about, when Satan actually is kicked out of heaven and comes down with all of his devils to deceive the whole world. And this will be a time of great occult power. You're going to see miracles. You're going to see prophets come back. Moses and Elijah are coming back. The two witnesses, and they're going to do miracles too. So it'll be God's miracles against Satan's miracles. The true against the false. Yep.
Are they going to think that calling fire down from heaven?
They could very well think that. They could very well think that. And I would not be a bit surprised that his calling down fire from heaven. You know, remember the Jews said, are you that prophet? And so forth. So he's going to be a prophet. He's going to be a false prophet. But he'll also be a false Messiah. So, yeah, they may very well think that he is Elijah, their prophet. And now he is their Messiah. And he's going to push himself off as that in their presence. So that's in verse 13 where you see that he does these great wonders. And that's not the only wonder he's going to do, though. He's going to do a lot of other wonders and pawn himself off as the Jewish Messiah. Okay? And he's going to call attention to the first beast and get people to worship the first beast. Put your finger there and go to the 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 for a moment. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And we'll see this here, how this works out with this Jewish Antichrist. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And get this here. Verse 9. It says, even him whose coming, and the word is parousia, is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. Now, I believe that's talking about the first beast, but when he comes and reveals himself, he'll do it with the help of these false signs and lying wonders of the Jewish Antichrist, and there'll be great deception, verse 10, and the Jewish Antichrist will call people to worship the beast, all right? That's the purpose of his coming and of his deception, and notice verse 14 now of Revelation chapter 13, it says, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by means of those miracles which he had power to do. Notice that, Patty, they're miracles. They're not just deceptions. Had miracles which he had power, dunamis, to do in the sight of the beast, the first beast. So the second beast does these miracles to get people to believe in the first beast. And to get them to worship him. And to get them to take his mark, which is a cashless mark on your hand or forehead so you can buy and sell. Without it, you can't legally buy and sell. And he's trying to get them to do that. And notice it's the beast which had the wound by his sword and did live. Verse number 14. And he had power to give life into the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Now, this image of the beast is going to be set up in the Holy of Holies in the city of Jerusalem. But if you study the Bible carefully, everyone throughout the world that worships the beast will make an image of him. Have you ever seen the Catholic car where they have on the dashboard some image of a saint, and they use that, you know. Well, everybody will have an image of the beast in their houses and everywhere. And the images will speak and give counsel to people. And you say, what are you talking about? You know, images can't talk. The Bible says they can't talk. Of course they can't talk. But they're indwelt and inhabited, like 1 Corinthians 10 says, by devils, fallen angels. Yes, Patty. What's that? Definitely AI will be involved. Bots, androids will be involved. The Lamb speaks like a dragon, speaks like Satan. Nova, Yuval Noah Harari. He may be the Antichrist. He may be. He's Jewish. He speaks like a dragon. I listened to him. I heard him last night. I put him on. And he was talking. He's the one that said, God used to be the God above the clouds that we prayed to, but our God is a God in the cloud. Speaking of, you know, the storing of information. And he said this, and I listened to him. He said, we now, you know, we've created things before that, we've created things before, but they could not think on their own and run us. He said, we've created AI, and AI now thinks on its own and creates on its own. He said, AI is our God. Noah Yuval Harari. He's a right-hand man to the Germanic Gentile, Klaus Schwab. What a picture of the beast and the Antichrist right there. And he said that, you know, AI is our God, and it's thinking on its own. Let me tell you, if AI is thinking on its own, it's because it's inhabited by devils. Any AI. And it's going on already, I believe. There's stuff going on already you wouldn't even imagine. You've heard of, you know, I had maybe 10, 15 years ago, I talked about aliens coming. And I said the aliens are going to be devils, and they're going to present themselves like highly evolved people from planets, and they're going to be unidentified, you know, UFOs. Well, a guy walked out of my class. He's a graduate from Bible. He said, that man's crazy. I'm getting out of there. But now, 10 years later, who's crazy? You know, like they say, Alex Jones was right. You could say Randy Bloom was right. Who's crazy? Because AI is becoming something quite well known right now, and UFOs are becoming, and it's documented, and it's getting all ready to deceive people when the government comes out and said, yeah, we've been in communication with AI. And what are they going to do? They're going to give the backing to this man, and they're going to say, yes, this man is the man you ought to go along with. He'll bring in world peace. He's conquered death. He is. Listen to me. This is the kind of deception that the false Jewish Messiah is going to bring in. Now, I want to show you this real quick in Daniel. We'll end it here because we're out of time. But go to Daniel chapter, Daniel 11. Yeah, Daniel 11. Remember I said you can see this second Jewish Messiah in the Old Testament. You need to put the Old Testament with the New Testament. Daniel 11. And we'll look at verse 36. It says there in verse 36... that, and I'll read it. It says there, and this is just when you start talking about the Antichrist. It says, and the king shall do according to his will, and he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished, for that is determined shall be done. Now, the Jewish Antichrist will magnify himself and take on, I'm God. Now, listen, did Jesus Christ refuse worship? Did he refuse worship? No. When Thomas said, my Lord and my God, Jesus didn't say, get up, I'm just a man like you. But every other place where anybody, whether it was an apostle or whoever, an angel, they always said, no, don't worship me, I'm an angel. Or don't worship me, I'm a created being. Don't worship me. But Jesus didn't do that. This man will accept worship, this Jewish Antichrist. He will say that he can do these miracles because he's highly evolved, more highly evolved, and he's to a godlike position. And so he should be worshipped as God. And that is what it's saying there. And listen, the Bible says Jesus Christ, when he returns, Mount Zion is going to be elevated. And on top of Mount Zion, the temple is going to be established there, the heavenly temple, the millennial temple right on top of Mount Zion. Who's going to sit in the Holy of Holies and reign as the king over the earth? Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
So this one is replacing Jesus Christ. He is a king. Where is he going to reign? He's going to reign first over Israel. And then he's going to reign over the eastern part of the European Union, the revived Roman Empire. And he's going to worship, he's going to reign like with the beast who's over the western part, the European beast. And they're going to work together for the revived Roman Empire. And eventually it's going to be over the whole world. And he's going to be a king working with the first beast. All right, so let's go on. And notice what it says there. Verse 37, neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women. Now, some people say, oh, he's a homo. He won't regard the desire of women. I don't believe that. You got to think Jewish. What is the desire of women according to the Jewish scripture? Anybody know? He won't regard the desire of women. What is that? Patty? Well, close. Having the Messiah. Remember, the woman shall give birth to the Messiah. That'll defeat Satan. Well, he won't have any regard to the desire of women to have the Messiah. And he won't trace how the Messiah was born and all that. He will have no regard to that kind of a Messiah because he's looking at another kind of Messiah. So he won't have regard to the desire of women. And he won't regard the God of his fathers. Well, what does that make him if it's the God of his fathers? And the fathers are patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. What does that make him? Jewish. He won't regard.